Got to hit the right buttons. Let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you for today. Lord, thank you for being good to us. Lord, I thank you for just loving us. You're really good to us. It's been a week, Lord, and just hearing about Hannah's friend and the baby dying. And God, we know that your ways are perfect and ours aren't. And so, Lord, life's short. And so I pray that we stay focused on you. We keep the main thing. Lord, we're going to talk about that a little bit today. You know, we've got to get the Word of God where it needs to go on time. And I pray that we are stewarding that well. I thank you so much for the Passpoint class and just their really serious nature to what you've called us to do, what you allow us to do. You know, ministry, it's fun, but it's heavy at times. And so, God, we just thank you for being there for us because, God, we can't do anything in and of ourselves. And so, Lord, I thank you for Dwayne and Amy being back. And I know we've been praying for them and just seeing Dwayne get healed up and back into normal life. We thank you for just what they are to the class. And I pray that you would just allow them to stay healthy and just keep pressing forward in the ministry. Lord, I just thank you for those who are busy even now in the children's ministry doing different things. And we got a bake sale going on today. And it's the Christmas season. And there's so many things going on that sometimes, Lord, we can lose focus of where our focus needs to be, and that's on you. So, Lord, I pray you'd speak to us today as we really wrap up this chapter 10 of Acts, and you know what, how does it really apply to us, and what does it mean to us, and how do we need to take it and do something with it, Lord? And so, I pray that you would just speak to us. Put me out of the way. I don't have anything to say. My notes, they don't have anything to say, Lord, but I know you do. So, Lord, I pray you just speak to us. Thank you for everything that's going on. Pray you get the glory for all of it. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, let's get rocking and rolling. Yeah, there's some spots up here, guys. Anywhere, it's all good. The little Christmas seat, it's really, I mean, it's always cramped in here anyway, but that's got it a little extra cramped. So I guess the next one that comes in has to sit in the Christmas seat. So there's more chairs. Also, if we need to take some chairs back there to the back, we can. So anybody can start on that. It doesn't matter. Okay, Acts chapter 10. I got to get going because we really do need to get this done because I think I'm going to try to do something Christmas-esque next week. If you're here for class next week, there'll be some teaching, but I don't know exactly what it's going to look like yet, but I want to have a good time. We get a Christmas service once a year, and so, I don't know, we may play some sort of a game if I can find somebody to put one together. So anyway, it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. But, yeah, last night was really fun. And so as I was praying this morning, guys, life's heavy sometimes. And so, you know, make sure that we're not wasting time because, and that's honestly what we do is we waste time and then something in our life happens and then it's just like, whoa, where did that come from? And sometimes it's just God's way of saying, hey, you know, stay focused. And so, just throwing that out there, God's good. I think we can all testify to that, but you know, God's just good and gracious to us. And so, make sure, I know it's the Christmas season and all those things, but make sure we're staying focused because sometimes you get into the book of Revelation and you read about the church of Laodicea and, you know, we lose our first love and, you know, we're kind of hit and miss and we're hot and cold and, you know, God forbid that that's how we are at HBF and here in Passpoint. I pray that we really are diligent and focused and, you know, really just pushing towards the mark until Christ calls us home. And so, you know, that's just my admonition to you. It's been a week. I'll just say that. So, okay, Acts chapter 10. I don't have time to read the whole chapter. Hopefully, you guys remember. We've been in here for, you know, a month now. I know we had a fifth Sunday and whatnot, and we're going to wrap this thing up. And so, I am going to do just a little bit of review because I thought I was going to get done last week. What do you know about that? So, I want to just kind of do a review of the main points and the teaching points as we go through it, and then just pick back up from there. We understand that Acts chapter 10 is crucial in understanding the transition of the book of Acts. That's where God really starts to really transition from Jew to Gentile, how he uses the Apostle Peter to do that. And, you know, there were these five interactions that we were looking at throughout this entire chapter and how God has used each one of those interactions to really change the course of history. And you might think, well, okay, that's cool for back then, but I mean, the same thing is true for us today. If we choose to simply be obedient, God can change the course of history through your actions, but it only comes through obedience. And so, anyway, I'm going to move quickly just to hit the five main points, and I'm going to also list out the teaching points for you. I'm not going to like slow down for you to write them down, so you'll have to go back and listen to several weeks of it, but I'm just going to try to hit it so we can try to get the whole lesson in a week, as opposed to trying to remember everything from the last month. And so we understand God calls Cornelius, or he says to Cornelius, hey, this is what I want you to do. And then he tells Peter, hey, there's a guy, he's sending some guys to you. This is what I want you to do. You know, and it took each of their individual obedience for anything to actually happen. You know, and so then Peter goes, and what happened, you know, Cornelius is like, okay, so God said you were coming. And Peter's like, well, I didn't know I was coming. What am I here for? And, you know, there's this whole, like, what's going on? And so Peter's like, okay, well, here's the only thing I know how to say is, here's the gospel. And so he shares the gospel, and then we'll wrap it up today with, you know, how God, after everyone's individual obedience, how God kind of comes and puts a bow on the thing, right? And because everybody's individual obedience is great, but God has to have a hand in it. And so that's what we're going to see today, and, you know, how that really applies. So anyway, again, just really quickly, we started this whole thing with, you know, talking about how faith meeting obedience. Because we say we have faith, we say we're following God, we say we're doing all these things, but is our faith leading us to something? Because it needs to lead to some sort of obedience. We talk about in, you know, James, faith without works, and, you know, it's faith without obedience, because obedience will lead us to work. And so when we choose to be obedient, when we choose to follow, God says, I can do something with that, right? I can do something. You know, it's like knowing that you need to get saved, and knowing that you need to get saved, knowing that you need to get saved, but until you finally raise your hand, or until you finally call out, or until you finally find that person that you know has the answer, there needs to be some sort of obedience on your part for God to say, okay, I can work with that, right? And so that is kind of what we've been talking about. And so, you know, believing something can happen is faith, but if we never act on it, our lives are never going to change. You can say, oh yeah, I believe God can do that, but if you don't ever act on it, it's never going to change. And so anyway, there were these five interactions. The first one was Cornelius and the Lord, and, you know, Cornelius was a Gentile, and, you know, they were different from the Jews. They didn't like each other. We've hit all that whole thing, but he was a religious guy. He was pretty important. He had all these servants and, you know, this army that he was over, and, you know, but teaching point one told us that religion and a personal relationship are very different. You can know a lot about God, but without a personal relationship, and there's nothing personal there, right? God doesn't know you until you make that. I mean, he knows the hairs on your head, but until you make that relationship, you know, consummate, until you call out to him, he's going to say, I never knew you, right? We have to make it personal. Religion and a personal relationship are very different. The second teaching point was the Lord will hear a lost man's prayer, but the answer to that prayer is always going to be in the form of getting them the gospel one way or another. That's how God responds to a lost person, is getting them the gospel. He will send them, you know, circumstances. He will allow people to come into their life, and it's all about getting saved. Remember the difference between the will of God and you know, for a lost man as opposed to a saved man. The will of God for a lost person is only to get saved. Now, if you get saved, that opens Pandora's box to, you know, the will of God now is to be sanctified. Well, good luck with ever achieving that. But, you know, for a lost man, it's just to be saved. And so the third teaching point was a faithful testimony while nobody is watching. That translates to faithful obedience when it matters. You know, he sends these guys and they're willing to go, even though it sounds like the craziest story ever. I'm supposed to go knock on this guy's door. He has no idea who I am. And I'm just telling, oh, yeah, here, I need you to come travel with me and tell Cornelius a story, you know, but it was the fact that he was faithful all the time that they were like, okay, I'll do that. And so, you know, that was the first interaction. The second interaction was between Peter and the Lord. And this is where, you know, God, you know, has the sheet, and he brings it down. And he basically says, anything that I'm calling clean, don't you call unclean. And he's basically showing him that, hey, I know that there's a lot of things in the Jewish tradition that you have held to. And that's great, Peter. But what you need to understand is the times are changing. Things are getting a little bit different, and I need you to obey, because if you'll obey, people will follow you. And there's something key to that, because a lot of times we think, nobody really cares what I do. Nobody really cares what I think. Nobody really cares what I say. And I promise, there's somebody that's watching you. There's somebody that is just, how are you going to react to this? And, you know, at some point we'll get to it, but I want to make sure I say it is, you know, you're either drawing people towards Christ or away from Christ by your actions, one way or the other. There is no middle ground. And I want to make sure you understand this. It only takes one time of doing the wrong thing You know, it's not like it's one for one. It's not like, well, if they see me do the right thing here, then that means if they see me do the wrong thing here, they'll cancel each other out. No, it's more like they need to see you do the right thing 100 times to equal out 1 time of you doing the wrong thing, because your hypocrisy is showing, right? And so make sure, because people are watching you. Your friends are watching you. Like the people that we work with, they're watching you. And so where do we stand? Because we stand for Christ. And what does Christ look like to the world? Well, it's whatever you're showing them. And so make sure we're doing that. And so, you know, Peter, he's the leader of the Jewish believers, and we all kind of understand all that. So teaching point four, when God's word tells us something that's contrary to what we believe, we conform to the word, not the other way around. A lot of times we like to say, well, man, I really think that this is how I feel. And so that must be what the word of God says. And we try to pick and choose. And, you know, if the word of God's telling you something, conform to the word. It doesn't change, right? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We understand that. So this, you know, teaching point, I think I threw this in there. It was an extra 4.5. Legalism breeds contention, right? When your relationship with Christ, or I hate saying this word, but when your religion is more about what you can't do than what you can do, well, it's going to breed contention. Obviously, there are things in the Word of God that say, hey, don't do that, right? There's no like debate on, hey, should I go out and commit adultery? Should I go out and kill somebody, right? Things like that. But too often there are like things that we're just convicted about that we think, oh, that must be doctrine. And then we preach it as doctrine, and then the church is kind of confused, and that's where, you know, legalism breeds contention, right? So, and confusion, I would say. So make sure that we stay focused on what we know is true. And if you're convicted about something, praise the Lord, hallelujah, be convicted about it. Obey your convictions, but make sure you're not trying to push your conviction off as doctrine, right, on somebody else. So anyway, legalism breeds contention. Teaching point five, the Lord will confirm or teach something confusing or out of the ordinary by repetition, right? Don't think that if man, that seems odd. Okay, well, keep reading. Because if God's really trying to show you something, he'll show you multiple times, right? Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established, the Word of God says. So make sure that, like, if you find something that's like, man, I'm just not sure, keep reading, keep studying. Because if God really wants you to know it, it's in there, and he will confirm it, right, multiple times. Teaching point six, our faith will only become action when our actions confirm what we believe. That seems pretty simple, but I'm just telling you, your faith is only going to become action when you actually put your feet to the ground and do something about it, right? Okay, so keep it moving. The third interaction was Peter and Cornelius. Peter goes to this guy. He's like, okay, so I'm here. It's odd that I'm here because I'm not supposed to be here. The Jews aren't supposed to hang out with you guys, so what's the deal? And Cornelius is like, well, God said you were going to come and you were going to tell me something. And there was that whole deal. And, you know, teaching point seven, being blameless is the best way to keep us from being blamed. And I think we're like, well, duh. Well, I'm just saying sometimes our lifestyle doesn't exactly say, well, duh, right? We're not blameless in a lot of areas. We're blameless in the things we want to be blameless in, but blamelessness is simply not putting yourself in a position to be blamed from the lost world, from the saved world, any of those things, right? You know, Philippians 2:15, you know, we're supposed to be blameless and harmless, you know, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We understand all of that. So, you know, Peter took some guys with him because, well, that was a situation where he needed some witnesses to make sure that what was going to happen. And we'll see that kind of culminate today at the end of this thing. Teaching point eight, our excitement for what the Lord is doing should draw others in. Think about your life for a minute. Is your excitement or lack thereof drawing people in or pushing them away? I think that's really all that needs to be said. It's one or the other. So, and then I really am trying to get somewhere. We've been here for quite a while. Teaching point nine, good leaders will realize their position does not alter their standing. Your standing's in Christ. Your standing is not your title. Your standing is not your whatever you think that, you know, as soon as we start to think that we're something bigger than what God has called us, redeemed, right? Son of God, daughter of God, then we've got things off, right? Lucifer had a really cool title, right? He was the anointed cherub that covereth. But it was when he started thinking that, wow, that makes me something cool, that things went off the rails, right? Yeah. God will give you a position at times. He will give you a title at times that's cool, right? I get to be Paige's husband. Nobody else gets to be that. That's pretty cool. But as soon as I start to think that, like, man, I'm something special because of that, right? No, I am only what God has allowed me to be or what God has appointed me to be, right? And so, did you just drink coffee, Austin?
No, never.
Oh, it was like freaked me out for a second. Like, anyway, man, I thought we were really seeing something happen in front of our eyes.
We got a real cold.
Yeah, man. Sorry. That's. We've tried really hard to get Austin just to try it. He just. So I'm like, whoa.
Like, geez,
yeah. It's like the Book of Acts right in front of our eyes. Things are transitioning, and so.
Sorry,
just realize that your position, it doesn't alter your standing. God will allow you to do and be a lot of things. But first and foremost, you're a child of God. You're a child of the King. You're in Christ. Stay there. Because that's where your security is. It's not on those other things. Because those other things could fail. You know, they could go away at any time. Reading through the Book of Job right now. Like, everything that you got could be gone in an instant. And God doesn't have to explain why. Right? We just have to trust Him. And so, you know, make sure that you understand that what you are is in Christ. Because if you know that that is what you are, that can't be taken away. And so, if that's where your security is, you're fine. But if your security is in something else, in some title or in some whatever, I mean, that's only going to hinder you, not boost you in any way. The best leaders use their position to glorify God, not the other way around. You know, Peter didn't want any part of this guy worshiping him. He was just like, whoa, hang on a minute. I'm here because God sent me here. So what's going on here? Teaching point 10, when God shows you something new or tells you to do something different, do it today. It kind of goes back to the, conform to the word. Don't let the word conform to you. But this kind of adds to that. When He says to do it, do it. Don't put it off. Don't be like, well, yeah, I'll get to it. No, God says go. Right? God says, speak. You know, I use the example of, you know, Ganesh in India, and he's like, hey, these are my friends from America. They came to tell you a story. Now go. Right? Like, what do you got to say? It better be Jesus, because that's the only thing we got to say. I'm just telling you. You probably got that email. They had a Christmas outreach yesterday. I told you, like, people, we say this, and we're like, oh, it's no big deal. No, we call Ganesh the Billy Graham of India. Mumbai has 20 million people in one city. And they like put on this parade. He gets on this bus and they drive down the street and he's preaching through a megaphone and just getting it done. And people are drawing in. It's like Billy Graham, I'm telling you. So, yeah. Teaching point 10, when God shows you, I just told you that one. Teaching point 11, always be ready to talk about Christ, right? And that's kind of where we're at right now. We got to be ready to talk about Christ. We're ready to talk about a lot of things. What about Jesus? And where does Jesus fit into the whole thing? Because that's where it needs to be. And then you get to the fourth interaction. Peter and the Gentile group, he has nothing else to say other than to preach. And this is where we were last week. And so basically he comes in and he's like, here's what I got to say. And he basically shares the gospel with them. We read through it last week, and sometimes it's kind of confusing as to what he's doing there. But he's sharing the gospel. And this is where we ended last week. Every gospel presentation should include four things. It can include other things as well. Your testimony, all these. But they need to include. Every time you share the gospel with someone, it needs to include four things. Whether it takes you 20 seconds. Remember, you should have a 20-second, a 2-minute, a 20-minute, and a 2-hour version of the gospel for somebody, your testimony for somebody, right? As long as you can keep the conversation going, because you want to keep the conversation about Christ. Every gospel presentation, if that's what you can call it, it needs to include four things. Jesus' life, right? How does it differ from ours? Why did he have to do what he did? Jesus' death, why was it different than ours? Because he wasn't justly killed, although everyone else in the world should have been and will be, but yet He chose to do it willingly, right? Jesus' resurrection. Now I understand sometimes we're like, well, what about the burial? I mean, death and burial kind of go together. He was killed unjustly and he was buried because that's what you do with dead people is you bury them. He was buried. And then 3 days later he resurrected. Why is that important? Well, let me tell you, right? Because that's something that no one else in the world has ever been able to do, right? Is resurrect. You know, show me something else. You know, Muhammad didn't do that. You know, Joseph Smith didn't do that. I'm studying up for this World Religions and Cults class. And man, it's crazy that these people are willing to follow someone who they're no different than a normal person, right? But Jesus, man, he did. He resurrected. Why was it necessary for him to resurrect? Oh, let me tell you, because he wanted to take your place, right? And because he resurrected, now you can resurrect, right? Spiritually. And then the last point, because this is what we usually tend to leave out, is a point of decision. Now, it doesn't have to be like, do you want to get saved today? Or maybe it does. But, you know, what do you think of that? Put the ball back in their court. Too often we share the gospel and we're like, so here's what the Bible says. Whew, I got it out. Okay, well, that's kind of an awkward situation if that's how you leave it. You share the gospel. You leave it out there and you say, whatever you need to, what do you think of that? Right? What does that mean to you? Right? Keep the conversation going. Ask questions, right? What do you think of that? And so anyway, that's kind of what Peter did in Acts chapter 10 is, I don't have time to kind of go through it, but if you read through, you know, verse 34 all the way down to 43, that's what he did. He shared Jesus' life, he shared his death, he shared his resurrection, and then he put it out there, right? And he basically says in verse 43, to him give the prophets and witnesses that through his name, whosoever believeth in him should have remission of sins. So what about you, right? Do you believe or don't you, right? And that's kind of where they put it out there. And so that's what Peter did. Too often, we let the differences between us and who we're talking to. Right, think about the last time you shared the gospel, and I hope that you don't have to think back very far. Right, but think about the last time that you shared your faith with someone. Too often we let the differences between us and who we're talking to keep us from really speaking the truth. Why do we do that? Right, we're going to be spending a lot of time with family coming up in the next couple weeks, right? Some of us have some family that is just like, man, what is going on in your life? And, you know, we're like, and we let the differences really hinder us from speaking the truth. Because we think that the truth is different because they're living a sinful life. The truth is the truth no matter what, right? And so we just need to speak the truth. In love, by the way. Think of it like this. If you were at your family gathering, right, and you guys are, you're having dinner, everything's great, and something was to happen, right? And somebody starts choking, right? And they're just like, they can't breathe. What are you going to do? Are you just going to like sit back and be like, well, I hope this works out. I hope they get this figured out, you know, before it's too late. Or are you like going to do something? Is there going to be some sort of action like, hey, does somebody know the Heimlich? Does somebody know CPR, depending on whatever's going on? Can I do something here to intervene between them being alive and them being dead, right? Yeah, obviously you would. It's your family. Okay, well, let's go one step further. You leave church today, and you're heading down the road. You're singing your little Christmas carols in the car because it's Christmas time, and everybody's... And there's an accident in front of you, right? And you can tell this is not a good accident. You're probably not just going to drive by. At least you're going to call 911 and be like, this was not good. You need to send some help, right? Most of us would even go a step further and like get out of our car and do something. We have no idea who these people are, but we will do something because why? Because it might be the thing that stands between them being alive and dead tomorrow morning. And we'll do those things for people physically without even thinking. Like we go into like, I don't know.
Survival.
Yeah, survival mode, right? I almost said beast mode and I'm like, that doesn't really make sense. So survival mode is right, right? And I guess it depends, like if it's a bad car crash, maybe you gotta go into... Anyway, we'll do that for somebody we have no idea. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. But yet, spiritually, we can see this person is, man, they've been in a wicked car accident, spiritually. And I guarantee this is not gonna go down well. I hope they get this figured out. Why is it different spiritually? It shouldn't be, but it is. And I'm not trying to convict anybody, I don't think, but... Like, for real, like, that's a situation where we're gonna be with our family, why wouldn't we do and say the same thing spiritually that we would if it was a physical type of thing? Are we worried about offending them? Well, I promise they'll be much more offended when they stand at the judgment seat, or the great white throne judgment, and they're like, why didn't you try a little harder to get this to me while there was time? Because there's not time anymore. I promise that's what they're gonna be saying. So if you're worried about offending somebody, no, it doesn't have to be offensive, but sometimes you have to, like, instead of just saying, okay, enough is enough, they don't want to hear it, at least make it known that, hey, I care, and I'm willing to do whatever if you're willing to talk, because, man, this is real. Like, however you need to get the point across, we would do whatever it takes. The fifth interaction, and we're almost done, is the Lord and the Gentile group. Because, yes, it took Cornelius's obedience to make this happen. If he would have never sent for Peter, it never would have happened. And it took Peter's obedience to the Lord first, and his obedience to go, right? for this interaction to happen. And then Peter goes, and he's obedient to speak, and he speaks, and he shares the gospel. But let me just tell you, it doesn't stop there. When you're obedient to do what the Lord asks you to do, it doesn't just stop there. It doesn't just, well, okay, I did it, good. You may feel like that. You may share the gospel, your testimony, whatever, with a family member, with a friend. And you might feel like, well, it's done. I got it out there. Actually, that's just the beginning. You've done what God asked you to do. Now stand back and watch where the Lord does what he does. Right? Because too often we think that we need to do the Lord's part of the job. No, it's our job to just tell them. God takes care of the rest. Right? God takes care of the rest. Teaching point 13. When we're faithful to speak, God's faithful to save. And let me clarify, because it's not always on our timing. Some people are like, well, I said it and they didn't believe it. It's not always on our timing. But if you're faithful to speak, God's faithful to save. Now remember, God gave every person free will. Praise the Lord for that. He didn't twist anybody's arm to get saved. But if that person ever is willing to receive it, he's faithful to save them. But you've got to be faithful to do your part. Speak. Do what he's asked you to do. Right? It says, let's just read the last little bit of this, verse 44 to 48. This is the end of the chapter. It says, while Peter yet spake these words, he was sharing the gospel with them, it says, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, meaning the Jews, which believed, were astonished. And as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which had received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. And just culturally, you have to realize how absurd verse 44 to 48 are. Not only did he share the gospel with them, but when they get saved, he says, well, I'm going to baptize them, and I'm not even going to ask anybody about it, right? I'm not asking for permission. This is definitely of God. I'm just going to do it. It is crazy what happens there. You know, it says just a couple things to make sure we get the doctrinal thing. When it says the Holy Ghost fell on them, that's Acts terms for basically they got saved. This group of people, they got saved. That's what happened. The Holy Ghost came upon them, Verse 45 is key. It says, and they of the circumcision which believed, meaning, because remember, it wasn't just Peter. Peter took some guys with him. And we were like, well, why is that important? This is why this is important. Because if Peter would have went back to Jerusalem and just been like, hey, you'll never guess what happened. I went into a Gentile house. You did what? Yeah, and I shared the gospel with them. Huh? And then they got saved, so I baptized them. They would have stoned him, right? They would have ran him out of there. Remember, by the mouth of two or three witnesses. He took these guys with him because he's like, man, you tell them what God did. I was just there, right? You tell them. It was so key. Remember when Peter took the other Jews with him? That's really key, especially as we get into chapter 11 here in a couple weeks. It's really key because chapter 11, man, the church at Jerusalem, even though there were other guys, they were still not happy about what happened, right? But it was because he took other people with him. Remember, make sure if you get yourself in a situation where it's like, I'm not sure exactly how this is going to go down, take somebody with you, right? Just in case. Just in case. Verse 46, it talks about, he heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. I don't want to get too much into this. We talked about speaking in tongues quite a bit earlier in the book of Acts, but remember, what kind of gift was speaking in tongues? We gave it like a label. It's a sign gift, right? Why would God have used a sign gift in this situation? The Jews needed to see something, right? It was a sign to the Jews that this was of God. This wasn't just Peter trying to, get in the middle. No, this was a sign to the Jews that were there that, hey, this is of God. The same thing that happened to you guys in Acts chapter 2, right? Same thing's happening here. Now remember, it's a transitional book. By the time we get out of this book, it's not even there anymore. But God was using it to prove himself to different people groups at different times. Okay, go back and listen to the whole lesson on speaking in tongues if you want to get into it. But it was a sign gift, and that's why God used it. It was a sign to the Jews that this was of God. And then verse 47, just a subtle point to notice here. It says, can any man forbid water that they should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as we? Again, remember, it's a transitional book. Sometimes we read things and we're like, wait a minute, that doesn't line up with our doctrine. By the time we get done with the book of Acts, it all lines up with our doctrine, okay? He's transitioning things. Just a couple chapters ago, they were getting baptized to be saved. But notice how he's worked things out, and already we're back to salvation, then baptism, right? He says that, well, they have the Holy Ghost. Who can forbid water, right? You get saved and then you get baptized. I'm not teaching you guys anything you don't already know, but and just pointing out that that's how the book of Acts works. You have to make sure and you see the whole of the transition from beginning to end. And so anyway, so let's wrap it up. This is the end of the whole thing. Do you see now why Acts chapter 10 is so important in the historical and doctrinal context of the entire Bible, but especially the book of Acts? Because from here on, it's Paul going to the Gentiles. But if this chapter wasn't in here, we'd be like, wait a minute. God was only after saving the Jews. And so he had to have this in here to prove that, like, hey, I'm doing this. He had to use Peter because he was the leader of the Jews to prove that, hey, I'm doing something here. And it's just the context of the entire transition. It had to be here. And it's so key that we understand what's happening. Because if you don't understand Acts 10, then it's just like, well, I guess God just changes things as he wants. You know, he wanted to go to the Jews, but then he wanted to go to the Gentiles. Well, if that's the case, well, God wanted to save me, but now he doesn't want to save me. That's not the case at all. God in his foreknowledge and in his providence said, hey, I have a plan for the Jews, but because they rejected me, now watch what I can do. And I will pivot for a short amount of time. Go to Acts or Romans 9, 10, and 11, right? I'll put the Jews on hold, right? And my promises to them, and I'm going to go to the Gentiles. And now you start to see how the Bible intertwines itself book to book and how he's really doing something overall. But if you don't understand Acts 10, it doesn't make sense at all historically or doctrinally, because it's just like, well, I guess God does what he wants when he wants. Well, yeah, he does, but he also lets us know why he does it. Okay? So, okay, that's all good. And that's great. You understand the doctrinal context of Acts chapter 10. Great. Some would say, who cares? Right? That's great. God saved the Jews, now he wants to save the Gentiles. What about inspirationally? What does this chapter have to do with you? Right? Because I don't want you to leave here and just think, well, that's cool that God did that. Because it is cool. But what does it have to do with me? Right? Because not that we're little me monsters, but sometimes we want to know, how does the Bible apply to me? I do. I want to know. Like, it's great, and I'm all about what God was doing there. Why should I care? Right? Obviously, he's coming to the Gentiles now. That was a long time ago. Let me tell you why you should care. I want everybody in here, and I know we're out of time. The clock's fast, though, so we're actually right on time. It really is. I promise. I have a minute. It's better than 2 minutes past. Everybody think of one lost person in your life. Everybody think of one lost person in your life that you know needs to get saved. Just one. Because a lot of times we're like, well, I got this person. Just think of one. One person. The first person that comes to mind. Everybody got somebody in mind? Like, picture them, right? Because sometimes we're like, oh, no, this one person. That's what this chapter has to do with you. God wants to save all people. But sometimes it takes the obedience of you for those things to happen. Sometimes it takes our simple obedience to do what he's called us to do. If Cornelius never obeyed, this wouldn't have happened. I'm not saying God couldn't have done it, but in the sense of how it went down, Cornelius needed to do this. Peter had to obey. We know that we're called to get the gospel where it needs to go. There's no doubt in that. You know, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, we're supposed to go ye therefore to your family because it's Christmas time, right? That's what it says. Not really, but that's what it means, right? We have to do our part. That's what this has to do with you. God is calling all men to repent, right? He's called us to action, to go. We interact with lost people, that person that you're thinking all the time. So instead of beating around the bush, talking about the weather, talking about sports, talking about this, that, or the other, those things are fine to talk about, but why don't we talk about Jesus? We're worried about offending them. We're worried about somehow, you know, not getting to talk to them anymore. Well, God forbid that the last conversation I have with a lost person before they die is about how the Chiefs did, as opposed to an offensive conversation about what Jesus meant and why he needed. Because if that's the last conversation I have with somebody, it better be the one that I had. That's the only peace that I'm going to have. And instead, we know people that die for no reason. And we're like, man, I really wish I would have while there was time. Well, you were too busy worried about being offensive. Let the last conversation you have with him be about Christ. And it doesn't have to be offensive. That's the problem. We think that, oh, I'll never get to talk to them again. No, you might offend them a little bit, but I promise it comes back around. It always does. Right? It always does. Have a conversation. Remember the four things. Jesus' life, His death, His resurrection, a point of decision. Make it about those things. If we're faithful to speak, God's faithful to show up. Remember, at the end of the day though, God gave every person free will. Don't wear it if they reject it. That's not on you. It's on you to obey. It's on them what they do. But man, the worst thing that happens is somebody stand at the great white throne judgment before God and say, man, I thought I was good enough. You know, I wanted to be. And then they look at you and say, why didn't you try a little harder? Because believe it or not, you'll have to get into D2 and I'll show you how all this thing plays out. But as Christians, we'll be present as spectators at the great white throne. And there's going to be people that you know that in the crowd of billions of people, they're going to find you and make eye contact with you. And I don't want to wear that with somebody that I knew needed it. And I just beat around the bush, right? Jesus is everything to our lives. But yet when we get around lost people, it's just like we forgot. I mean, it really is. Get the gospel where it needs to go on time. Acts 10 changes the course of history. And I'm telling you, one conversation with somebody, if you're actually real and your lifestyle lines up with your words, that could change the course of history for somebody else. Your faith has to meet obedience at some point. Right? It has to. Because if it's just faith without works is dead. Faith without obedience, I'm just saying, you can tell me that you're this all the day long. At some point, man, if you're a fruit tree, I need to see some fruit. That's what Jesus said. All right, let's pray. We're way over time. Sorry. Father, I love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for being good to us. Lord, it's really convicting, but, man, God, you allow us to be a part of changing humanity's fate, and that's humbling. And so, God, I pray that you would allow us to be bold to speak the truth, not brashly, but in love, that we would just see you save people on time. God, we all are thinking about somebody and multiple somebodies, and I just pray that the Word of God does the work. So that we would just be simply obedient. God, you're so good to us. It's been a really tough week for some people, but God, you're real. And so I pray that we're faithful to you, we're faithful to give you the glory for all of it, and that we would just simply just be in awe of you in the way that you work in our lives and other people's lives, and that we as a class would just rally around one another and hold each other's hands up, Lord, to see what you could do with the people that we know. So, God, I pray that you'd be with Pastor Brian as he preaches today. Get the glory for all of it. In Christ's name, amen.